It's under the blood of Christ's dear name. I'm not what I used to be. My life's been changed. Not shackled by sin and shame. It's already gone. I'm happy reminding you it's under the blood.
From folks, met folks along the way before that, and say, boy, it's the only way, it's a good way.
Yep.
How the Lord had blessed them. And at the time, I didn't really know, and this is Bible. Bible said the foolishness of the cross to them that perish, the preaching of the cross is to them that perish is foolishness, but unto us that are saved. It's the power of God. At the time, when folks would tell me that, and some of them's here this morning, they'd say, Lord's blessed me. I didn't know what you was talking about. But September 27, 2001, it became real to me.
Yeah, brother.
And I've never been the same. Sure, I've made some mistakes along the way. I'm not proud of those. I'm just like the Bible says, my little children, I write unto you that you sin not. But if you do sin, you have an advocate.
Yes.
When we mess up, we don't do it willingly, but in our flesh dwelleth no good thing.
That's right.
And I told a young man the other day, I said, son, you're just going to mess up this life. You're going to have bad thoughts. I mean, you're trapped. This brother preached one time about traps. I don't like it. It's just life.
Amen.
And Brother Jerry, we just have to say, Lord, forgive me again.
Amen.
Paul said I have to die daily.
Right.
Pretty good chance if he did, we do too. Not physically, naturally dying, just repentance.
Yeah.
And I mean, praise the Lord. I'm glad I'm saved. Thank God for everybody's come today. Good friends, brothers in the Lord that we ain't seen today or two. I thank God for you.
Sure.
The Lord has never let me down, though.
Hey!
And I just thank God. I told Brother Kevin this morning, I said, I felt like I was just going to get out of here over there a while ago. And it could be today, friend.
It could be, that's right.
Yep.
But I'll say this, if it wasn't for the grace of God, ain't no telling where this old boy right here'd be.
Yeah.
I mean, I know I say that a lot.
It's true, brother.
Man, God has, I don't even know, I don't have words to tell you how good God's been to me. And when I see folks that's still in that shape, that has problems, I say, that could be this old boy.
Right. Yes, sir, brother. Yes, sir.
That could be me with a needle. Could be me with drugs.
Yes, brother.
Could be me as a drunkard. Until, if it wasn't for the grace of God.
Amen.
I mean that. God knows my heart. I love them people.
Lord, you help him real good.
I feel sorry for them. Sin gets a hold of them, and they can't get rid. They need the Lord. They need the Lord.
Amen.
And guess what? If you've never done none of that, you're still a sinner too.
That's right.
You need the Lord too.
Yep.
Not just people with problems. We're all sinners. All of us. Through it all. Same.
We want you to, thank God. We want you to mind the Lord.
Rachel. Well, it's good to be here today. Appreciate the Lord. What a blessing it is to be saved.
Yes, sir.
Know where we're going when we die. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we come to you this morning. Lord, thanking you, Lord, for what you've done this morning. Lord, how you've come by and spoke to the hearts of your people. And Lord, the testimonies and the singing. And Lord, every part of the service. Lord, what a blessing, Lord, that you would come and speak to us. Lord, we realize, Lord, just who we are, just old speck of dirt. God, thank you, Lord, for the day that you saved my soul. Lord, don't want to never get to the place where I take for granted what you've done for me. Lord, these testimonies, Lord, have they blessed our heart this morning. God, I pray, Lord, you would help us for a few moments as we stand to preach the word of God. Lord, we realize there's a lot of different situations sitting here this morning. These folks sitting here this morning, no doubt lost on their way to hell. And Lord, unless you talk to them and draw them, Lord, they'll die and go to hell. And God, I pray, Lord, the Holy Ghost would speak to their heart as only you can. Lord, if we knowed what to say, we'd say it, but we don't know what to say. But I'm glad you do. Lord, I pray for those that are hurting this morning, sitting here. Lord, no doubt the difficulties and problems. Lord, I'm glad you're one that can fix all the difficulties, take care of all the problems. Lord, when we don't have the answer, Lord, I'm glad you are the answer. God, I pray, Lord, you'd help us now. We won't be mindful of you. We'll be obedient to the Holy Ghost. Lord, thank you for this place. Thank you for these folk, what they mean to me. God, I pray, Lord, that you would bless this church, Lord. Pray that you'd help them be a light in this community. God, I'll be sure to give you all the honor and all the glory for helping us. In your name we pray. Amen and amen. Well, you've been sitting a little bit, so we invite you to stand as we read the word of God. And this is where I believe the Lord had me to go. And just been sitting over there just trying to follow the Holy Ghost. If you will, take your Bibles, go with us to Luke's Gospel, chapter number 16. Luke's Gospel, chapter number 16. And I want to be a help. And a lot of times when you hear someone take this text, and it is, it's a text for the lost. But I want to tell you, it's also a text for the saved, too.
That's right. Sure.
Luke's Gospel, chapter number 16. Begin reading in verse number 19. And if you're there, say amen.
Amen.
All right. The Bible says there was a certain rich man which was clothed in purple and fine linen and fared sumptuously every day. And there was a certain beggar named Lazarus which was laid at his gate full of sores, desiring to be fed with the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table. Moreover, the dogs came and licked his sores. And it came to pass that the beggar died and was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. And the rich man also died and was buried. And in hell he lift up his eyes, being in torments, and seeth Abraham afar off and Lazarus in his bosom. And he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me, and send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue. For I am tormented in this flame. But Abraham said, Son, remember that thou in thy lifetime receivest thy good things, and likewise Lazarus evil things. But now he is comforted, and thou art tormented. And besides all this, between us and you, there is a great gulf fixed, so that they which would pass from hence to you cannot, neither can they pass to us that would come from thence. Then he said, I pray thee therefore, Father, that thou wouldest send him to my father's house. Yep. For I have five brethren, that he may testify unto them, lest they also come into this place of torment. Abraham saith unto him, they have Moses and the prophets, let them hear them. And he said, nay, Father Abraham, but if one went unto them from the dead, they will repent. And he said unto him, if they hear not Moses and the prophets, neither will they be persuaded, though one rose from the dead. You may be seated this morning. We thank the Lord for the reading of his word. And this passage of scripture that we've read this morning, we've read the account of Luke 16 of the rich man and the man by the name of Lazarus in the text. Now, here in this text, so often we find that as children of God, you and I become callous and cold, and we get to the place where this does not affect you and I maybe as it once did. And I find within myself too, I'm not putting it all on you, but I'm in the same boat. When I think about hell, hey, it's something that is not fervent. It's not something in my heart like it may at once times have been. But God help you and I this morning as children of God to realize this morning there is a place called hell. It's a place just as real as you and I sitting here this morning. There's a place where people are burning in a place called hell this morning. I got to thinking about how the Bible speaks of heaven. What a blessing as a child of God. That's where you and I are going. I'm glad this morning that heaven is my home. But just as real as heaven is, we find I have not seen, ear heard, neither has it entered the heart of man what God has laid up in store for them. But just as real as heaven is, hell is just as real. Hey, I can't describe heaven to you. I can't tell you all the splendor and all the glories of that place. But I can't tell you all the goriness of a place called hell. This morning, I can't paint a picture bad enough to express to you the awfulness of this place. And yet people are dying and going to this place. And you and I, we sit here this morning and we are not under a burden for those that are dying and going to this place. I got to thinking about hell. You may be sitting here this morning and you may not know the Lord. If you don't get born again by the grace of God, this is where you are going to die and go. This morning, hell is a real place. And I want to say this morning about hell. I got to thinking about this. We find hell is an existing place. Now, in our cultures today and in our colleges today and with all the sophisticated people of our day, they want to tell you that hell is a fairy tale. They want to tell you that hell is just a figment of your imagination. But my friend, what a blessing to know today. I'm glad heaven exists. But hey, just because heaven exists and that's a place where the saved are going, but for the lost man, there's a place called hell. And it's an existing place. The Bible says it's where their worm dieth not and the fire is not quenched. And you can write it off all you want to, but hell is an existing place. Not only would I say hell is an existing place, but I got to thinking about this. Hell is an evil place. Everything that's been done in this world is being done in hell. It's amazing. You think about the awfulness of hell. I talked to a brother the other day, and I got to talking to him. And have you ever been to a burn ward in the hospital and smelled burning flesh, what it was, the stench of that? And, you know, you go in there, and we think about how that a body is going to be on fire and yet never burn up. We're talking about a smell that you and I would never be able to get out of our senses. Hey, hell is an evil place, and it's where sin abounds. Satan's there, and the devils of this world. Hey, and when for a person to go there to think they're going to have a party and everything going to be all right, ain't no way.
Right, preacher.
It's an evil place. Preach. Not only would I say it's an evil place, it's an existing place, it's an eternal place. Now, in the text, humanly speaking, this is just me as a human being. In my thinking, I would think by now he's done paid his debt.
Go ahead.
Luke 16 to 2024, surely to God, this man's paid his debt. He should be able to get out by now. And yet, he'll still be there throughout all eternity.
You're right.
You'll never pay your debt if you die and go to hell.
Right.
But there's one that came from heaven, came to this earth, hung between heaven and earth on Calvary's cross, and he paid your debt and my debt this morning.
That's right.
But to die and go to hell, it's an eternal place. It's an eternal place for somebody did something in time. That just ain't my, I mean, that gets beyond me.
Right.
To think about we live in time, and yet we reject God in what's called time, but to take time to fix what you've done is going to take eternity. And eternity will always be, so that means you'll never get out to die and go to hell. Not only would I say it's an existing place, it's an evil place, it's an eternal place, but in Isaiah 5:14, we find that hell's an enlarging place.
That's right.
Hey, there's more people in hell in comparison to those that are dying going to heaven. Because hell is a place of evilness. It's enlarging itself. Now, I got to thinking about this, and this is what I won't get to with the heart of what's on my heart. About this man that's in hell right now, never to get out, and some things this rich man has in hell right now that I want. Some things the rich man has that you and I need this morning.
Go ahead.
Did you know this morning there's some things that he talks about when he went to hell that everybody in the building needs?
That's right.
This morning.
You're right.
He had a change of some things from when he was living here on earth until he went to hell. It changed in his life.
Yep.
And I got to thinking about this. We find, first of all, I would say his values changed.
You're right.
Now, in Luke's Gospel, chapter 16, verse number 19, the Bible says there was a certain rich man which was clothed in purple and fine linen and fared sumptuously every day.
Yep.
Now, here on earth, that's all he thought about. That was what was valuable to him. But I want to show you what changed when he went to hell. In verse number 27, then he said, I pray thee, therefore, Father, that thou wouldest send him to my father's house. For I have five brethren, that he may testify unto them, lest they also come into this place of torment.
Right.
You know, this morning, I want to ask you, what are your values on this morning?
Go ahead.
This man will never get out of this place.
Right.
And yet his values are different than most of ours in the building. Most of us are more concerned about the things of this earth than we are about the things of God. And yet this man, when he died and went to hell, his values changed.
You're right.
He quit thinking about himself and he began to thinking about others.
You're right.
Now, this is amazing to me. I don't know if you've ever seen this before or not, but I did, and it really talked to me. We find that when this man died and went to hell, in verse number 24, the Bible says, and he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me. And send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue. For I am tormented in this flame.
Right.
We find that when he first went to hell, his whole focus was on himself and what he needed. But in verse number 27 and 28 where we've read, we find it changes. He said, then he said, I pray thee therefore, Father, that thou wouldest send him to my father's house. For I have five brethren. They may testify unto them, lest they also come into this place of torment. We find here that at the beginning he was thinking of himself. But it changed. I want to say tonight, hey, or this morning, a lot of us are more focused on ourselves than we are on those around us that are dying and going to hell. God, help us to have the values that this man had this morning. Even though he'll never get out of this place, I want his values this morning. I want to have a value of knowing that there's people dying and going to hell, and I'm one that God has placed in a place to be able to be a witness and to be able to be a testimony to those that are dying and going to hell. I ain't talking about giving false professions. I ain't talking about trying to go shove something down somebody's throat. But I'm talking about having a burden for my family and for my friends that are dying and going to this place. Most of us in the building, I dare say, at times when God gives us opportunity to say something to our family or our friends because of our values, because of our concern, we let it go.
You're right.
To the child of God, shame on us for not being what we need to be.
You're right, preacher.
We find here in the text, people are going to this place. And yet you and I, we sit here and we don't worry. We don't give no concern to those. Pray this morning for your family. Pray that God will change your values, your burden, your concern. Not only would I say here in the text that we find what the rich man has in hell that I want his values. But I got to thinking about, I want his voice. I want the voice of this rich man. He prayed here in this text while in hell, praying, asking that somebody go tell his brethren about the Lord. And you and I, we ain't in hell. We're children of God. We'll never go to that place, never experience that. But I want to ask you this morning, how often do you pray for your family? How often do you ask God, hey, God, help me to be a testimony and be a voice to my family, to my friends, to those that are dying and going to hell. I think about Brother Adam Beatty back there and what God saved him from. Just got back from Al Chonder. It's amazing at the deception out there in Mormon country. How them people, they think that everything's all right. They think that they've got it down, and yet they've been deceived. And you and I, we have an opportunity to tell people about the Lord. And so often, I'm be the first to raise my hand. So often, I neglect being a voice for the Lord. Not only would I say what this rich man has, I want his values. I want his voice. But something else I would say, I want the vision of this man.
That's right.
This man will never get out. Never. But what he sees, most of us are blinded to. Most of us this morning ain't even looking for those in this situation. And yet he had a burden and a vision for his five brethren.
Amen.
And how he said, don't want them to come here. And you and I sit here this morning, and I'm not taking pop shots at nobody, but I'm telling you this morning, we've got to get a burden about those dying and going to hell. And I'm sure you do. I'm not mocking nobody. I ain't knocking at you. Hey, but God, help me to get more of a burden about my family going to hell. God, give me more of a burden about my friends going to this place called hell. Now, I heard this story some time ago. it really struck a chord with my heart about this fella. He was a young fella. He was pastoring a little church in a community. And he got up and he became pastor in that little church, and he was full of fire and zeal. Had a burden to want to see people saved. He'd get up and preach and give his heart. At times he'd get up. No doubt every message he'd preach, somewhere in his message, he'd talk about having a vision for people dying and going to hell. He'd stand and bare his heart to his people. Finally, it got so heavy on him. They had a banner Brother Delmer made. And across the back of the pulpit, the banner said, "Where there is no vision, the people perish." He'd get up and he'd preach with all he had. Give it all he got, bearing his heart. Finally, the men of the church come to him and said, "Hey, you got to quit all this thing about having a vision. You're messing us up. We're getting tired of that. Why can't you preach something else?" He said, "No." I said, "That's what God has put in my heart. And I'm following the Holy Ghost." They kept on talking to him. Finally, they said, "Brother, we ask you to resign. We want you to leave." He'd been there about 2.5 years. Give his heart. Somewhere in his message, he'd talk about having a vision for your family. Have a vision for your friends. They asked him to leave. He left. Drove about 40 miles down the road to another community. Stayed there 40 years. God flourished that thing. God birthed that thing. I'm talking about God did a work in that thing. About 40 years later, a church down the road said, "Brother," said, "would you come preach a revival for us?" He was already an older man, Brother Doug. Got in his car, made his way back over there, and he was on the other side of the county from that church he had pastored all them years ago. Started that little revival there at that church, and one day he said, "I'm going to go over and see what they're doing, see how they're doing." Got in his car, made his way across the county, got over there, pulled up, got out of the car. And Brother Kevin, when he got out of the car, said the grass was between the knee and the thigh. Said the grass was all grown up. Said he started walking through that tall grass, making his way to the steps, looked up, said all the windows in the church house were all busted out. Said he got the flooding memories of how those little 2.5 years he was there, where people came to know the Lord, how God had done a work. But then them men asked him to leave.
"Go ahead, preacher."
He said he got up to the steps, looked up, the doors were hanging off their hinges. Weather had done come through that little place and just beat it all to pieces. And how that all these memories was flooding his mind and his heart. And he was standing there weeping, looking at all the things that had happened and how that it was all dilapidated and everything was falling apart. Said he made his way up them steps and he kind of stooped down, looked up in there. Said all them years ago, said when God so burned it on his heart, he said there hung that banner across the back of that pulpit. "Where there is no vision, the people perish." He said, but there was something different.
Right.
Said there was a ladder missing. And he said, instead of reading "where there is no vision, the people perish," he said the W had fell off of that banner. And it said, "Here there is no vision, and the people perish."
Go ahead.
Did you know this morning you're within one letter of dying?
You're right.
If this church loses its vision for the families and the friends around this area, and about lost souls dying and going to hell, it'll die.
You're right.
And it's the same in an individual's heart. When you and I lose our vision of those dying and going to hell,
yes,
we're going to start falling to pieces. God, help us to have what this rich man has this morning. My desire is to have what he has. I want to have that value and that concern of knowing there's people dying and going to hell. I want to have a voice like he has. You know, I know we cannot. I understand that. But I really do wonder if somehow we could bring him up out of hell this morning, Brother Delmer, and let him preach. Wonder what he'd have to say to you and I.
Go ahead.
And yet we sit here and relaxed, and most of us ain't even touched this morning. As the little lady comes to play the piano, I don't know what you need, but I'd say this morning, we all need more of a burden. And I'd say this morning, if you're sitting here and you're lost, God's give you another opportunity. And it's the Holy Ghost of God Man cannot save you, but God can. God, help us this morning to realize that we've got family dying and going to hell. We got friends dying and going to hell. But are we concerned about it? Are we concerned about those that's going to this place? Are we all right just sitting and it's no big deal? Maybe tomorrow, maybe if I get a chance, I'll talk to them. Why don't you ask the Lord, hey, Lord, would you make a way that I can say something to somebody? Would you make a way that I'm able to say a witness to somebody that's on their way to hell? When's the last time you asked the Lord to give you a burden for maybe just one person? Just one. God, help us this morning. People are dying and going to hell. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you, Lord, for the liberty. We'll give you all the honor and all the glory. Lord, someone sitting here this morning, Lord, and they're lost. God, I pray, Lord, sweet Holy Ghost of God, to speak to them. Lord, thank you. We'll give you all the honor and all the glory.